نستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم صلى الله عليه وسلم My most respected beloved brothers and elders in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah, all thanks and praise and gratitude be unto Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, who out of His infinite mercy and grace, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us innumerable amount of favors and bounties. My beloved friends and elders in Islam, if we have to try and count the blessings and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are enjoying at any given moment of our lives, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us the outcome of that trying to enumerate and count. Allah tells us in the Quran Sharif, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you have to try and count and enumerate the favors and the bounties, the blessings of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that are raining down and showering down upon you, O insan, O mu'min, O believer, you will never be able to encompass and count all the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such greatness from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, magnificence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can provide for each and every single human being on the face of this earth. Take care of each and every need of that person, every need, every want, every desire of that person at any given moment of time. And it will not decrease in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how great Allah is, beloved friends and elders in Islam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, from all the favors and bounties that He has bestowed us with, the greatest gift that Allah has given us is the gift and the bounty of our Iman and Islam. The greatest bounty is this kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Greater than this, there is no other favor and bounty. In other words, if a person has just this bounty only in this worldly life, Allah has given that person just this bounty, Iman, Islam, just this kalima. That person brought Iman in the kalima, he lived with that kalima, and he died with the kalima also. May Allah grant us all mut on Iman. The person left this world in a condition of that kalima with the Iman. But that person had no other bounty and favor that he enjoyed in his entire life. This is for our understanding only. That person, when he will go by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he or she, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that slave of Allah is standing in the condition of Iman, in a condition that this person did not enjoy any other bounty or favor of Allah in this worldly life. But in the court of Allah, that person will be the most successful person, the most honored person. Why? That person brought Iman and came by Allah. On the contrary, if a person lived in this world and he enjoyed every single bounty and favor or blessing or enjoyment or pleasure or whatever it may have been in this worldly life, and that person passed away in a condition that he was void of Iman, there was no Iman in him, That person did not bring iman in Allah. He did not get tawfiq to read the kalima, to believe in the kalima. That person will go in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and stand there as a total failure. May Allah safeguard and protect us. But this is a reality, beloved friends and elders in Islam. Such honor Allah has granted us through this kalima, through deen of Islam, through this iman, that no price tag can be put to this iman, to this kalima. Like how we will sell commodities and items of goods in this world, you can attach a price to it, the most expensive of things also. But when it comes to this iman that Allah has bestowed us with, this is by selection. Allah decides which hearts to place this iman in, this kalima, and Allah places it in those hearts. We have to appreciate this great favor that Allah has granted us, together with granting us this great favor, and putting us on that high pedestal, that if a person, as long as he is with iman, and he dies with iman, that person is the best person from the entire world. Because of the iman, it adds such value to the person. We have to thank Allah, we have to appreciate this bounty. Together with that great honor comes great responsibility as well. And the responsibility of each and every person, each and every individual who has been blessed with this kalima, with this iman, with this deen of Islam, is that we need to practice upon this deen of Islam. We need to preserve this deen of Islam. We need to strengthen this deen of Islam in our own lives first. This is a responsibility. We have to take this iman to Allah. Together with that, we have to take to Allah the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this worldly life. Did we adhere to Allah's commands? Did we fulfill the commands of Allah? Did we follow that way which was the only acceptable way in the court of Allah, the way and the lifestyle of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is what is going to grant us success on the day of Qiyamah. Beloved friends and elders in Islam, Allah is so kind and so merciful upon this ummah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends great reminders for us. Today is such a blessed day in this deen of Islam, the day of Arafah. Yesterday the Hujjaj witnessed the day of Arafah, today they are making Eid. This is Allah's plan. Today is our day of Arafah, tomorrow we will be celebrating Eid inshallah. Respected friends and elders in Islam, ask ourselves, what was the great importance that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, attached specifically to this month of Zulhijjah, to these first 10 days of Zulhijjah, and specifically today being the 9th of Zulhijjah, the day of Arafah. The Hujjaj, alhamdulillah, they have departed. They are those plains of Arafah. Yesterday it was for them. Without Arafah, the Hajj will be incomplete. Such a great rukn of Hajj, a great component of Hajj. Such great places of acceptance of dua, acceptance of relationship, building that relationship with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He accept the Hajj of each and every person that has departed for Hajj. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a Hajj maqbool and Hajj mabroor. That when they come back, it should be a lifestyle change, as though a person is now a newborn individual, newborn baby. That is how the Haji will come back. We look for the opportunity, we go and meet those who have come back. Ask them to make dua for us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a dua to read for them. قَبِيلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكَ وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكَ وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَ. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept your Hajj. And may Allah forgive your sins. Everyone is prone to sinning. Person, a believer can slip here and there. He may have seen something you're not supposed to see. He may have spoken something which was undesirable. He shouldn't have spoken that. Whatever it may be, we're making dua for that haji. وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكَ. And may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala recompense you with every cent that you spent and went for hajj. May Allah give you that and much more back. That is a dua we're making for the haji. So we try and meet them as soon as they come back. Before even going to their homes, let us see whoever from our locality went. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba radiallahu anhum. These are great practices. Inshallah, through us meeting them, Allah will give us the tawfiq to go for hajj inshallah. We do it with this intention and Allah will take us. Many a time a person's gaze and his focus is on his own pockets, his own capabilities, on his own bank balance. But that is not what will take us and go. It's acceptance in the court of Allah. This entire theme of Qurbani that is being circulated and discussed currently, the sacrifices of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, great sacrifice was taken, great acceptance was granted also. A person puts himself forward, Allah accepts it. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's entire life was centered around mujahada and qurbani, sacrifice. Such a great Nabi of Allah, such a great family of a great Nabi, Allah had accepted them for ultimate sacrifices. We know the incidents, we hear about it. Ask ourselves, tomorrow many of us will be doing our own qurbani, or at the very least we will be witnessing qurbani being done. But we will be witnessing animals. And this is a very great lesson that we should take. The topic of qurbani is not my topic today. It's more along the lesson that we take out. This very lesson. This lesson that an animal which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has not given the ability to understand and comprehend things like the human being. Allah has granted us aqal. We have intelligence. We can reason. We can understand. We know what is good for us, what is bad for us. What is beneficial for us, what is harmful for us. We know there is Jannat, we know there is Jahannam also. Allah gave us understanding. Allah made us people of understanding. Allah made us the best of His creation. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ I have created insan. Allah says we have created insan in the best of forms. From all Allah's, from the best, Allah made us the best of the best by giving us Iman, Islam, this Kalima. Allahu Akbar. Added to that, we are from the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a great Nabi. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's life was filled with qurbani and sacrifice. But in the words of our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I have been put through such difficulties and hardships. I have been put through such difficulties and hardships that no person before me, neither any Nabi before me had experienced it, nor will any Nabi or any person after me experiences. Such a great Nabi. This ummah is the ummah of sacrifice. Daily, my beloved friends and elders in Islam, let us ask ourselves this very question. And this is the lesson that we must take out from Qurbani. An animal which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had granted no ability to understand and to reason. Such an animal is prepared to lay its head down, to lay its neck down, and offer itself. That animal on the day of Qiyamah is not going to be asked by Allah that were you halal or haram. That animal won't be taken to task. The person holding the knife will be asked, did you recite Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and slaughter or not? But despite that, that animal, having no ability to understand, lays its life down. What a great lesson is there for us, that we who have understanding, we who have the ability to reason, to understand Allah's commands, to understand the sunnah way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask ourselves, what am I able to sacrifice? This animal is giving its life. I'm not asked to lay my neck down and slaughter myself or get myself slaughtered. But there is definitely something else that I'm asked to sacrifice and slaughter, perhaps, if I have to use the word. We need to put that knife on our desires. We need to put the knife on our nafs. And beloved friends and elders in Islam, blessed is that person who controls himself, controls his thinking, controls the different channels that lead to that person's heart. Such a person is a blessed person. Such a person receives direct assistance from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This action of qurbani is teaching us this great lesson, that an animal is prepared to sacrifice its life. Myself, what am I prepared to sacrifice? From the time we wake up in the morning till the time we go to sleep in the evening, there are so many challenges. There are so many tests that come upon us on an individual capacity, on a collective capacity as well. Individually, each and every person, when the time of Fajr Salah sets in, Allah's command is directed to each and every individual, read Fajr Salah. We either fulfill the command or we ignore that command and we do not fulfill the command. Today is Fajr Salah, we can't get it again. A person has to make qadha of it. That is a test. Allah is testing us. At that time, this was my command. Did you put that knife on your desire, on your nafs? Did you put the pressure there and say that I'm fulfilling this command of Allah because it's a command of my Allah? When we go to business, or even before that, a person is spending time with his family in the morning. The relationship with my family. Allah has granted us wives. Allah has granted us children. It is an amanat in our hands, in our lives. We have to answer for each and everything that we decide, each and everything that we encourage, each and everything that we promote. In our lives, in the lives of our children, in our homes. Allah has made us responsible for a reason. Ask ourselves, this is a collective test. A test on an entire home. Beloved brothers and elders in Islam, there are so many different types of challenges that are affecting our youth. Many of us are fathers, alhamdulillah, we have youth in our homes, in our communities. To what extent have I made an effort to align my children or those youth who I have influence over, to align them in the direction of the obedience of Allah? If we are not going to make an effort, beloved brothers and elders in Islam, there are many, many things out there that are gripping the youth and taking them very far away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala at a very rapid speed. We don't need to go into details. We all understand. Social media is there. There are so many different types of environments and companies out there that are literally iman threatening. A person gets involved in that type of environment or that type of company. Certain types of languages are spoken. Certain types of things are consumed. And if a person doesn't regard this to be a serious thing, a person's iman is at stake. Now a person goes, drifts away from Allah. But when we had that ability and that capability, it was within our capacity to make an effort on ourselves, on our families as well. Ask ourselves, how much did we really do? Now when a person is gone far away from Allah, it's difficult for a person to come back to Allah. By Allah's command, the person will come back. But ask those who are grappling and they are battling with situations where youth have moved away. They have such serious doubts about Islam, such serious doubts about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, such serious doubts about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about Jannat, about Jahannam. What efforts am I making to protect this iman, which is our responsibility? My iman, the iman of my family. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is telling, O people of iman, save yourselves as well as those who you have influence over, your household. Save them from the fire of Jahannam. In other words, it's going to become challenging as we're moving closer and closer to Qiyamah. To protect and preserve this iman is going to get more and more challenging. We need to become more and more wise. We need to be one step ahead, understand the challenges that are around us, and take steps in the direction of protecting our own iman, the iman of our children, the iman of our family youth, community youth. So this is a great responsibility that we have. There are so many things, beloved brothers and elders in Islam, that are affecting the youth of the ummah. For example, women, girls, intoxicants, and so many other things, that if a person does not make an effort, a person will literally lose a generation or two. Our youth are the leaders of tomorrow. If we're not going to prepare youth with good values, then we are literally losing generations. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the ability and the tawfiq to understand that this is a sacrifice as well. That animal is sacrificing. What am I sacrificing? I have iman to protect. I have a family that I need to safeguard. Primarily the iman of my family. And thereafter the dunyawi security of that family. What I'm going to leave for them after I'm gone, that should be our secondary concern. Primary concern is, who are they going to worship after I'm gone? What I leave for them is not guaranteed that they're going to receive it. But if I ask them and I link them to that person who was granting me my entire life, that person will take care of their every need. That's a lesson from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's incident. He left his family in that barren land with total tawakkul and reliance upon Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And then you see how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala opened up for them. Till the day of Qiyamah, it will be a lesson. This is Allah's special, you know, doing. Why? Because that great Nabi is submitted to the command of Allah. So daily we are faced with tests. In order for us to pass those tests, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Sharif, this entire theme of this Qurbani is taqwa. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The blood of the animal, the meat of the animal, that is not reaching Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. What is reaching Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the taqwa that is in the heart of that person slaughtering that animal. Or that person's qurbani who's being made, what's the condition and the kafiyat of that heart? Beloved friends, in Islam we have time before our qurbani, even whether we are doing qurbani or qurbani is not wajib on us, but it's the lesson that we are taking. It's a life-changing opportunity for us. Let us change the frame of our mind. Make this frame of mind that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has granted me this great opportunity to give this sacrifice. But the real sacrifice is to put that knife on the desires of our heart, on the desires of our nafs, on the whispers of shaitan when it's coming to disobey Allah, to do this evil and that evil. To make it easier for us, beloved friends and elders in Islam, whenever we are faced with some challenge in life, no matter how serious it may be, wherever it may be, in which form it may be, we'll end off on one incident, inshallah. There are 5 points in this incident. We should try our level best to keep these 5 points in front of us at every step of our lives. And inshallah, through keeping this in front of us, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will make it such that now this taqwa that we have in our hearts will be our navigation system in our life. As though everything we are doing, we are putting the taqwa before it. Taqwa will tell us, do this or don't do it. But if a person doesn't make that effort to put taqwa in front, then now his carnal desires, nafs and shaitan are going to mislead that person. It's going to take that person away from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Nonetheless, in Makkah Mukarrama, in the time of a very pious person, Ubayd bin Umair rahimahullah, this was a very pious person of the time. His piety was well known to one and all. So nonetheless, on one occasion, a very beautiful woman who resided in Makkah Mukarrama, she one day was admiring herself. She was admiring herself in front of the mirror, and she asks her husband, tell me, do you think anyone on seeing such beauty would be able to resist such beauty? Anyone would be able to not be tempted by it? So the husband thought for a while. Then he said, yes, there is one person. So she asks, who is this? He says, a person by the name of Ubayd bin Umair, rahimahullah. So then the wife asks her husband, do you give me permission to go and seduce him? To go and tempt him? The husband says, yes, you got my permission. Now this is not an incident or some lesson that we must now try our taqwa levels out. This is an incident that occurred in history. But the great lesson that follows with it is what we need to take home today, inshallah. So nonetheless, this woman comes under the pretext of asking some dini masala. She comes in the masjid and she finds Ubayd bin Umair rahimahullah there. She comes and she asks whatever she needed to ask. Now Ubayd bin Umair rahimahullah is telling her, leave now. So she's adamant that she is not leaving. So he says, O slave of Allah, you need to leave immediately. Then she unveils herself. In the books of history, it's written that when she unveiled her face, it says that it shone, her face had shone like the full moon in brightness, in splendor. What beauty! So now she tells this pious person, I'm not leaving from here. I have a desire and I want you to fulfill this haram, this evil desire of mine with me. Ubayd bin Umair rahimahullah gets angry and he tells her that you need to leave immediately. She says, I'm not going. Ubayd bin Umair rahimahullah tells her, okay, I'm going to ask you 5 questions. And if you answer these five questions correctly and truthfully, then I may consider your request. Firstly, he says, if Malakul Maut has to come now to you and take your life away right now, do you still wish that I fulfill this haram desire with you at this time? She says, by the Qasam of Allah, never. He says, you've spoken the truth. Next question he asks her, he says, that you are crossing the bridge of Sirat, and you don't know whether you're going to make it on the other side or not. You don't know whether you're going to fall down from that bridge or not. You don't know whether you're going to end up in Jannah or you're going to end up in Jahannam. If you fall from there, you're going to Jahannam. At that time when you're crossing the bridge of Sirat, do you wish that I come and fulfill this desire of yours with you? She says, by the Qasam of Allah, never. Ubayd bin Umayr rahimahullah says, you have spoken the truth. Third question he asks her, he says, the people are being given their book of deeds. You don't know whether you are going to receive your book of deeds in your right hand or your left hand. At that time, do you wish that I fulfill this desire of yours with you? She says, by the Qasam of Allah, never. He says, you have spoken the truth. Then he said, your deeds are being placed on that scale. You don't know whether your good deeds will outweigh your evil deeds or your evil deeds will outweigh your good deeds. At that time, do you wish that I fulfill this desire of yours with you? She says, by the Qasam of Allah, never. He says, you have spoken the truth. And the fifth question he asks her, he says, you are now standing in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for accountability of all the actions you had done in this worldly life. At that time, do you wish that I fulfill this desire of yours with you? She says, Allahumma la. By the Qasam of Allah, never. Ubayd bin Umayr rahimahullah says, you have spoken the truth. And then he told her, ittaqi Allah ya amatallah. Fear Allah, O slave of Allah, because Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has blessed you with so much of favors and bounties. From being a woman of such loose nature, so to say, with loose habits, with evil intentions, her husband says in a short space of time, she was a total transformation in her life. She was now becoming tahajjud guzar, performing tahajjud salah. And that entire home changed. Beloved friends and elders in Islam, ask ourselves, when any challenge, any invitation to sin comes, whatever it may be, in our business, there's interest involved. There's a woman in front. The ability to commit evil and haram is there. Gambling is there. Intoxicants are there. Whatever other challenges and evils are out there, put these five questions. Put myself in those five situations. Then ask myself, will I still get involved in this or not? If our answer is not, then that is now our taqwa is speaking for us. Our taqwa is guiding us. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant all of us the ability and the tawfiq to be guided by this great quality of taqwa throughout our entire lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the a'mal of each and every person. Respected friends and elders in Islam, together with making dua for ourselves, remember our brothers and sisters throughout the world, wherever they are suffering. Tomorrow we are slaughtering our animals. Let us think of those people who don't seem meet throughout the entire year. They are not privileged as we are privileged. Make dua for them. If possible, send some for them as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the qurbani of each and everyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of the entire ummah coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the amal of the ummah being pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will send down good conditions on the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.